We all had dreams, Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
We were going to be rock stars, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, brilliant minds.
Millionaires.
Change the world. Mm. And then you grow up, and you are none of those things. You're not even close to any of those things.
No.
The adult mind you have now knows that ever accomplishing those goals was probably impossible.
Yeah.
And it's not something you should ever beat yourself up for. But young you, you wanted it.
Or you were a go-getter.
You believed it.
Mm-hmm.
And if young you could see you today, you might make them sick. You're hanging out at the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. So, Tommy, this was supposed to be a cute human interest story on News 8 over the weekend. A family in Brighton had just bought a home.
Mm.
And while going through the home, they found a time capsule.
Oh.
Inside this time capsule were letters that the Brighton High School class of 1995, seniors from that class, wrote to their future selves right before they graduated.
And it's in this couple's house.
Yes, the house that they bought.
Yeah.
Okay, so this mother and daughter who are living in the house, the daughter who is currently a senior at Brighton High School herself.
That's cute.
Serendipitous.
Yeah.
They've been doing all they can to reunite these letters with the folks that wrote them.
Yeah.
And they sit down with News 8 and they talk about how they've been mailing these letters to California, Florida, Arizona, Colorado, Montreal. And it's a very nice thing for these two to do. And it's a great chance for these now grown-ass people spread throughout the country and other parts of the greater Rochester area whose lives have played out to get a look at what they thought they'd become.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept.
And if we ended the discussion right there, this is a heartwarming, beautiful story.
Absolutely.
But I think you and I agree there is a darker side to this.
Of course, man.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Do you really want to read what 17-year-old you thought you would become?
Yes. It's going to be so sad. It's going to be so sad it's going to be hysterical to read.
Ah, like, okay.
It goes beyond sad. It's comical.
It could go that way. Now, here's the thing. You would be looking at the hopes and dreams of younger you.
Yeah.
The world, your oyster, on the precipice of entering what would become your life.
But you're a young fool.
But,
and it's not, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but you're just a foolish child. Thinking how this is how the world works.
Well, I mean, it's an unfiltered look into the mind of a person who believed they could accomplish anything. I think that's the nicer way to put it.
Yeah, you a fool.
252-WCMF, could you handle reading that letter? And just for reference sake, in this case, class of 1995, folks reading these letters would be in their late 40s.
Yeah. Hey, but a quick sidebar. They didn't open up any of the letters?
I don't think so.
Doesn't sound like it.
No.
Unless they were already...
Just
were
letters.
They
yeah, they may have, maybe they weren't sealed. Good point. Yeah,
because I'd be too tempted if they even were sealed. I'm opening up and reading those things.
Well, you would have they would have had to read the letter to see the name, right?
Unless they're in envelopes with the name of the person on the outside of it. All right, let me ask this question. I'm going to start with Kimmy because I know where you are.
Yeah.
All right.
Kimmy.
Yeah.
If you were handed a letter from 17-year-old you writing about your hopes and dreams, would that be fun for you to read, or would you be depressed by it?
I think 17-year-old me would have had a little bit more of a grasp. Like, the younger you go, I think the more depressing it gets.
Did 17-year-old you still think you had a shot at becoming a marine biologist?
Because at that point, like...
You were done with porpoises.
Yeah, like, at that point, you kind of know what your next step is.
Till she met her husband. Sorry.
Did you just call my husband a porpoise?
He's a sexy porpoise. Okay. He's like hairless, he's bald, good swimmer.
I think 17. I kind of knew what my next step at least was going to be. You have a little bit more of an idea of like what money is like. Whereas like everything I wrote about my future self in like, you know, middle school-ish, I was going to be a millionaire by 20. You know what I mean? Like, I think like the younger you go, the higher those expectations, the more unrealistic and embarrassing it becomes.
No, but see, I disagree with you. I think it's the opposite because when you're in third, fourth, fifth grade, of course you don't know how the world works. That's funny to read.
But I think it's sad because those were your biggest dreams. And as time moves on, you realize how unrealistic half of those things were.
Tommy, would it be a fun read at 17-year-old newsletter, or would it be a depressing
read? It would be hysterically sad what my goals were at 17.
You don't think you achieved more than you thought you would?
Well, one of his goals was to learn how to read, so
it didn't happen.
No.
Yeah.
I was going to grow at 21. But like, I can remember like thinking like what would be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, at 17, would be own like a Corvette, have my own place.
Yeah.
party every night.
Woo!
You know, that was like my goal.
Did two of the three things.
Well, you didn't get the Corvette.
You partied every night and you had your own place.
Yeah, but.
And you actually had a job where you probably could have eventually bought a Corvette
if
you didn't pursue comedy.
True. But, you know what I mean? Like,
comedy was a Corvette killer.
But that was it. There was no family.
Yeah.
Build a business, you know, build a respectable life. It was like all shiny objects that I saw on television. That's what I wanted.
But, you know, that's funny because
it's all self-indulgent.
But that's just it. It goes one of two ways because I know there would be a lot of letters like that. There would also be a lot of letters of things that looked further down the road of I want a family and I want to change the world and this is what I believe in and this is what I'm going to be.
My stuff was all F the world.
I think that would be easier to read.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be depressing because, look, I can't blame you for being a selfish, self-indulgent 17-year-old. Yeah. Everybody, you know, had
that. Because you may look at that letter and think, well, I don't want those things for me now anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, absolutely. Even if they were, like way out there and not achievable, but you would look at that and be like, oh, that's silly. Like, I wouldn't want to be partying every night.
What would really hurt, I think, is dreams that you still would have wanted.
Yes.
That you did not accomplish. Because, again, these people would be in their late 40s. Unless you had a Morgan Freeman-like renaissance of a career, everything's pretty set in the...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You had you probably, if you had kids, you had your kids, you have your family.
You're locked in.
Exactly. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Story on News 8 over the weekend about this family. They moved into a house in Brighton. When they did, they found a time capsule full of letters from the Brighton class of 1995 that wrote letters to their future selves. And this mother and daughter, the daughter now a senior at Brighton High School, have been trying to reunite these letters with the folks that wrote them. And it's a really cute human interest story when you don't think about it past that point. I mean, I guess at 17, you could have been a realistic kid. I mean, I guess depressed would be another word for that.
Yeah, but most kids aren't.
I mean, Kimmy, I don't know about, you know, you brought up like at 17 having a better grasp on the world.
Yeah, because I mean, you probably worked a little bit by this point. Like, you know how hard it is to make money.
Here's the thing. I disagree with the point you made a second ago. Because I don't know about other generations, but at our age...
Okay, we did definitely think we'd be doing better.
Well, no, we thought that we were all going to be rich and famous millionaires. It was the MTV Cribs generation. Social media, YouTube was just starting. There were these kids that came out of nowhere.
Get rich quick kind of thing.
Yeah.
Everyone had a reality show.
Yeah.
There was no doubt in my mind at 17 that I was going to be a multimillionaire at some point.
Yeah, because you could do it from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah. I mean,
it was easier.
Yeah, it wasn't
if you wanted to be a movie star... In the 50s, you went to Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't have to do that. One day, Kimmy, someone was just going to drop $1 million on our lap because we're so interesting and cool. I'm going to be on my sweet 16, even though I'm 17. My super sweet 16.
It'd be interesting, too, because, you know, Brighton's it's an affluent community. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to see at that point what kids like that from that
in those the mid-90s
would think of their future was going to be.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, their parents could have been, you know, doctors, lawyers, business owners, you know, so their expectations would have been way higher probably than a kid from a working class community.
Yeah, but I mean, numbers also show the more affluent your parents, the better your chance of staying at that level.
Right, so they may be lame letters where, like, if you talk to somebody that came from a working class community that wanted to shoot for the stars.
Yeah.
You know, there might have been, take over the old man's business, make it better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
They may be pretty lame.
I don't think any 17-year-old was going to take over, you know, J&J Sons Plumbing. I thought, you know, as realistic as that is, you had bigger dreams for yourself.
Probably, but they're probably pretty boring.
All right, well, to your point, you could also get a nice glimpse into your life being better than you anticipated, even if you had big dreams. Because let's say, like you said, you wrote a letter at 17 wanting to be a pop star or an actor or a sports hero, but you ended up with a spouse you love and fantastic kids. Mature you understands that family life is a better situation than what you wanted at 17, right?
True.
And it would also give you the ability to see how far you've matured as a human being. What would really hurt is those kids that wrote about having attainable goals, like having a family, getting married, that
finding
they didn't.
Somebody.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I want a job that isn't out of this world. I want a family or like a short term goal that they could have accomplished only to have fallen
How
short.
How about just having a house?
Ooh, that's
you know what I mean?
At this age, they'd be okay. If a 17-year-old kid, you know what I'm saying? Because they're in their
50s. I'm thinking more like people our age and a little bit younger. Like those basic things that you saw your parents have that you thought, well, that's a given.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's not a given.
Yeah, it's
you
a
know?
Good point. We should stop letting kids write letters to
themselves.
It's
a terrible idea.
Well, but here's the thing. In that time, it wasn't.
Are they still doing these things?
I didn't write one.
You didn't? Unless
they took me out of class knowing it was going to be terrible for me down the road.
I remember my sixth grade teacher sent us them.
Oh, really?
Like after high school, yeah.
Really?
We did them. But again, that's my sixth grade self.
Do you remember what you said?
I think I said I was going to have... I do remember thinking I was going to live in a house on a beach in like Florida or something.
Okay, nice.
But that's really all I remember. That and I was going to...
Florida, Kimmy.
That may have still been my marine biology phase.
Okay.
I may have been working my way out of that at that point.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Like the other sad thing I was thinking about, though, like, let's say you did pursue that dream, and now you're 45, and you're still in a cover band on a Saturday night. Like, it didn't happen for your ass.
I think that would be easier to deal with.
But you stuck to it. But you never got to Madison Square Garden. You never got to be Lou Graham.
But you took a shot.
You did. You took a shot.
You took a shot. I mean, look.
Well, but depending on your age, depending on your age, you may still feel like that could happen for you.
Well, not at 48. 48.
We all know people.
We knew a guy that was going to head west, man, in his 40s to pursue L.A.
I think there are people that keep their foot in the door thinking, there's always a possibility.
I got to figure California's got to be full of these people.
Well, I assume they went out there in their 20s and just stayed.
But they're still got an agent and going out on weekends and calls on at night.
Okay.
You know.
Maybe, I guess. No, I think it would be easier to deal with. Because, you know, I wanted to be a world-famous stand-up comedian at 17 years old. And that obviously did not happen.
The world rejected you.
I'm sorry, want to try that again?
I'll stand by what I said.
Stand-up comic. I was also coming to World of Drowning. The reason his closer never worked is because it finished like... His jokes are actually funny.
I was the scatting comic.
If I were to read that letter, it said, you know, I want to be playing Madison Square Garden, selling it out.
You want to be Dice Clay. Yeah.
I took my shot. It didn't work.
Yeah.
I know. If I didn't go do it...
It's true.
I would always have that what if in the back of my head, right? Not knowing how hard it was going to be, not knowing, you know, that I didn't have what it took to make it as far.
I think you swung for the fence.
Exactly. If you take a swing,
go for it, kid.
I think the most important question here
was that
is not what's in the letter. Would you be able to handle it?
Mm.
I think it's would teenage you be proud of who you are right now? Like right now, if you yourself in this moment could stand in front of 17-year-old you, your senior year of high school, and they could ask you three questions. Would they be excited to grow up to become you, or would they be horrified at what they were looking at?
I think I'd be shocked.
That's not okay. I'm not excited.
Horrified? I don't think I'd be horrified.
Yeah. Are you sure, though? Have you seen yourself lately?
No.
Look at you, man. Look at you.
Well, everybody gets old and ugly.
Yeah, but not like that, though.
So is it me talking to me or you talking
I'll
to
me?
I'll
be you. You ready? All right, you go ahead. You start. You be old you. I'm 17-year-old you. Go.
Hey, Tommy.
Oh, God, no! 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 Was he in a nuclear explosion? What happened? What happened? Kimmy, would 17-year-old you be proud of you now?
I think so, only because...
You had low expectations.
No, because I was going to say, I used to listen to Sandy Waters on the radio all the time. And I always thought, like, as a kid, like, man, it'd be really cool to have a job like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me, like, one day I would be on the radio in the morning, like...
Same floor as Sandy Waters.
Yeah,
one day you could be
with Sandy Waters.
The Sandy Waters!
Like, that would have really probably excited me at the time.
Okay, I get where you're coming from.
I couldn't imagine where I am today as a kid.
Sure.
Not even close.
But, I mean, look, man, you got a great job.
Oh, yeah, but it's nothing what I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
Right. Maybe the more...
Like, I live, the whole thing.
Yeah, maybe, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, the bigger the gap, I guess, of what you thought you were going to do and be, like, how different, the more different it is, I guess.
Okay.
Because it never lands the way
you
think.
The less disappointed you are because it's just so not at all what you thought it was going to turn out like.
Just like the friends you, think about the people you thought you were going to be friends with for the rest of your life 17.
Our crew
are going to be in there.
Our crew's going to be together forever, bro.
We're going to change the world, man.
That's right, man.
And 2 years later, you lost connection with all those people.
I hate them.
You hated him or whatever, and you moved on.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's impossible to nail it.
Could you have even pointed to Rochester, New York on a map at 17?
No. No. I mean, and my mother's from Auburn.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you were a dumb kid. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, I guess what it comes down to, right? Like, you know, you're right. Your life never goes the way you think it's going to go.
Yeah.
Normally, it's better than what you thought it was going to be. Even with, I mean, with hindsight, yes, it would be great to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. But like I said, like, you know, the job you have now, steady, family, if you got it, like everything worked itself out. But when it comes to making big decisions throughout your life, and maybe this is a talking point more for like folks in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Should you think of the dreams teenage you had when you make those big decisions?
No.
No.
No, because you were an idiot.
Okay, but you are also a guy that says if you want something, burn the boats and go.
Yes, you should.
So what do you want?
Well,
you are the only man totally, who contradicts himself with his own advice.
Totally committed to it.
That would be burning the boats.
Right, but I mean, you had to really have that talk with yourself. Like, you had to really want it.
Well, I mean, look, we only get one spin around this blue marble.
Oh, write that down.
You get one go, right?
Yeah, you get one lap.
Unless you're Buddhist or Hindu, in which case, take all the practice swings you want. But, I mean, if you get one shot to do this the way you want to do it, maybe the smart idea is to make decisions based on what teenage you wanted. And, yes, maybe those decisions are moved a little bit with maturity.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, if you wanted to be a rock star, go. If you wanted to be an actor, go. If you wanted to change the world, well, make a move.
That is great advice. But, you know, you could also pay a hell of a consequence for it. Because I agree, like, plan Bs don't work. Plan B makes sure plan A doesn't work.
Write that down, Kim.
Because you're going to lead on that.
Sure, sure, sure.
But if you have nothing else, you're going to go for it, to your point, if you don't have anything to fall back on. Because my old man was like, you always got to have a plan B, blah, 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 blah. And I said, you would never open up a business based on his business plan.
You're right.
Which he didn't follow.
Well, like father, like son. Does it follow his own advice?
No. I would never listen to me.
I don't know, Kimmy. Like, is you being the most rational, normal person in the world, should you use 17-year-old you as a gauge in your 20s and 30s to follow figure out where your life's going to go?
Well, I don't know, because those dreams that you have at 17, too, could have been influenced by other people, other things. Like, maybe 17-year-old you thought, like, let's say, just bringing up kids, right? Like, I think I was going to have 4 kids because my friend put, well, she was going to have 5 kids, so I better put 4. You know what I mean? Like, there's, like, a pressure. Like, maybe you don't want that at the time, but you feel like, well, maybe eventually I'll want that or want certain things that just because you feel like at that time you had to have it by that age.
I get what you're saying.
I think, necessarily go by what your 17-year-old self wanted or thought you'd be.
Don't have 4 kids or don't read the letter?
Both.
Okay, gotcha.
Don't do a time capsule.
Okay.
Don't have 4 children.
Yeah, no, I think that the smartest thing you've said this entire discussion, Tommy, is that we need to stop these time capsules for these kids now. Because, I mean, in all reality,
it's just setting up for sadness in your mid-30s.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, in this time period, any time before it, we were living in a country where it was almost guaranteed that the next generation was going to have a better run of it.
Yeah.
And that time, it seems, at least right now, hey, it's not a guarantee anymore.
Yeah.
So having these kids write these letters, 30 years from now, that could be a very depressing exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Good luck, kids. Reach for the stars.
Prove us wrong.
This town in our area?
Yeah.
They think they're big money, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have reason to feel this way.
But they are.
Well, not according to this list in front of us. This list might be a slap in the face to them.
It sounds like it.
Look, I'm sure residents and folks who spend time down there believe they should be number one. So for them to not even make an appearance?
I want to know who's in.
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy.
What's up?
I have in front of me the annual World Atlas list of the 8 best lakeside towns in New York. And for those who don't know, World Atlas is a very respected travel magazine website.
Yeah, it's got the whole goddamn world in it.
Okay. Would you like to guess which lakeside town was named number one in New York State?
Well, now that you tell me the one that I thought was going to be number one ain't, I'm going to go with number two, Skinny Atlas.
Skinny Atlas was number one.
Okay.
And it's hard to argue. I mean, it's got some of the most expensive real estate in the country. Famous names like Derek Jeter, the Clintons, they've owned property there amongst countless others.
Yeah.
The good news, for us, I mean, if you want to spend, let's say, a day there, it's like 90 minutes away.
Yeah.
You can go soak in Skinny Atlas if you wanted to. But I know there is a twinge of jealousy when we tell you Skinny Atlas is number one coming from one specific lakeside town.
Yeah. Well, because it should be our town.
Which is?
Right down the street.
Canandaigua.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been. I think it had the outside of like Lake Tahoe. It had some of the most expensive lake real estate in the country.
So I realized. Well, I realized last night, though. I'm sorry, Kim. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay.
I've been using that as a statistic based only on you saying it. I've never actually seen that.
That's
anywhere.
What I was told when I moved here.
Oh, great. So it's been a lie.
You got three billionaires living on that lake.
Okay. Yeah, but did you not just...
That makes it nice.
Again,
maybe
skinny
other lakes,
Atlas,
too.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess right. We never compared.
But outside of those two, because you and I are doing stand-up, we've been to a lot of these...
Oh, yeah.
Lake towns, especially in the Finger Lakes. All of them.
The one I'm going to name, I think we've all been to, except with the
exception
of one.
I want to know what slimy-ass lake town got in.
All right, so not only was Canandaigua not number one on the list, this is a list of the top eight lake towns in New York State. It didn't even make the top eight.
Which is insane.
Okay, I'm going to give it to you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, we're talking beyond the Finger Lakes, though, too.
Yes.
Right?
I mean,
this isn't just that area.
Lakes. Yeah. All right, so in order.
All right, here we go.
From World Atlas, we told you it was Skinny Atlas. Cooperstown, 2. Lake George, 3. Watkins Glen, 4. Long Lake, that's the one I haven't seen. It's in Hamilton County.
I don't know.
Okay. Lake Placid, Oswego, and Saranac.
Oswego?
I don't know about that one.
You gotta be kidding me, man.
I mean, I guess it's kind of a college town, but I don't...
It isn't.
Okay.
It's not nice.
I wouldn't call it quaint.
It ain't got no quaint.
It ain't got no quaint. No, I mean, look, I spent a lot of time in Oswego with hockey.
It's a late college town.
Oh, I don't get that one.
Yeah.
So was Canandaigua shafted here?
Oh, yeah.
252.
I'm surprised.
252 WCMF, 252.
I mean, I would put it over Cooperstown.
Well,
Cooperstown's a one-trick pony town in middle of nowhere.
Though. I mean, you do get a lot of people, like tourists, wanting
baseball
to go to
nerds.
Cooperstown.
It's the world headquarters.
Yeah. High socks and sandals walking around all summer.
I mean, not like Canandaigua.
No, but Canandaigua's cool, man.
Yeah, but Canandaigua, I guess in comparison to like some of these other places, is affordability part of it too?
Well, no, because Skinny Atlas is one. It's the most expensive town in the world.
Watkins
Glen. You want an ice cream? $24.
Watkins Glen is nice, but I wouldn't put it on the same level.
But you also have the track there that brings a ton of people, right?
Yeah,
right.
I'm thinking like those other places, there's a lot of stuff even outside of the lake to do there.
But Skinny Atlas doesn't. It's a one town and it's a lake and that's it. It's a tiny town. What is there to do in Skinny Atlas?
Right.
Dickens Christmas?
Yeah.
That's it. But Canandaigua has their stuff. Look. Canandaigua property, like you said, is super expensive. In the summertime, it is a nonstop party with the rich and the famous bouncing around, resorts, high-end bars, properties.
But they do
rented.
A nice job. I mean, it's really sharp.
And they do bring in big names, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, they got the concerts there, too.
Everyone from LeBron James, Jennifer Garner have spent time in the area. Jennifer Garner was seen in Wegmans last summer, for God's sake.
But they also, people fly in from New York City have places up there.
Oh, same with Skinny Atlas.
Yeah.
True.
All right. What the hell does it take to be a top lake town in New York?
And apparently Oswego's nailing it.
Well, look, man, I'll ask. Folks,
I always kind of thought like smaller, quaint town would make that list. Oswego seems like something you're not necessarily vacationing to.
I don't know anybody who goes to Oswego in the summer.
No, I mean, I don't either.
Like what you pass through to go to the Thousand Islands.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I'll ask this question, and I'm sincere when I ask it. 252-WCMF, 252-9263, to the folks that live out in Canandaigua, to folks that spend a lot of time in Canandaigua in the summertime. Has Canandaigua become too much of a resort town to be a quaint top lake town in New York? Because you have one of the best resorts. It was named one of the best resorts in the world.
Yes.
In the lake house out there.
Yeah.
They've built more around it. You brought up the concerts. There's
you got that culinary thing out there.
All that stuff. I mean, Canandaigua 25 years ago was quaint. Canandaigua now, would you call it quaint?
Yeah, it still is when you drive through it. It looks the same to me.
Right.
I mean, those restaurants that were on Main Street, they used to just be, you know, bars and grills. And there are still some bars and grills, but...
Well, you kind of got... You have the same thing, but just there's more there now. I mean, like, the old stuff didn't go away.
Some of it did. It had to get replaced by some of this higher-end stuff.
But just taking that Main Street when you drive through it, it's gorgeous. You know, just taking that Main Street down to the lake, because you hit all those beautiful homes, and then you go into the town. What's not quaint about that? Oh, quaint.
I don't.
Like both ways. Quaint.
I don't really see Canandaigua's quaint. It seems a little too, maybe it's too big.
First of all, you weren't raised in quaint. You don't know quaint.
Oh, really?
Y'all were too loud for quaint.
You
were the opposite of quaint. Whatever non-quaint is,
all right.
That's y'all.
I was trying to be nice, but now you force me to be mean.
Go ahead.
Kimmy, you know why Tommy loves Canandaigua so much?
Why is that, Pat?
Because he's small money. He's small money, itty bitty money. See this right here?
That's
you little, little money. But you get to go for a day down at Canandaigua, and you get to buy one entree, no, excuse me, one appetizer for you to split with your wife at the sandbar, which is that nice little restaurant there.
It's nice.
At the lake house.
Watch the boats go in and out.
And you get to feel a little while like you're big money. And you ain't big money.
I feel like I'm in Florida.
You ain't big money. That ain't you. You get an hour of feeling like somebody when you're a nobody. And even when you're in there, they know you're a nobody. You're a zero, pal. That's your IQ right there, buddy. Zero.
Well, I threw your name around.
Yeah, how'd that work
out?
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Not only was Canandaigua not number one on the best lake towns in this New World Atlas list.
Hammondsport.
They didn't even make the top eight. Skinny Alice, Cooperstown, Lake George, Watkins Glen, Long Lake in Hamilton County, Lake Placid, Oswego.
That's the scariest one.
And Saranac. I wouldn't call it scary.
Hey, that's a rough-ass looking town.
252-WCMF, why did Canandaigua not make this list? Let's talk to Karen. Hey, Karen, how are you?
Hey, I am born and bred in Canandaigua.
Oh, all right, that solves it.
Yep, that's it, that's it. And trust me, I'm a nice Karen. I'm not the Karen.
If you have to say it, it means it's not true, but you were saying, Karen, go on.
See, Canandaigua is horrible now. I moved away for several years and moved back, and I won't even drive into Canandaigua anymore. It's not at all the town that I grew up in.
What has changed about it that makes you hate it?
First off, the lakeshore. The lakefront, they completely raped it. It's totally for the wealthy.
Okay.
It's ugly. You know, I can't imagine buying one of those condos and then having to overlook Wendy's and McDonald's as my view.
I mean, look, she's echoing. I know you're making a face
because
now Little Money Tommy's offended.
Well,
Wendy's and McDonald's are back out on the main road. They're not anywhere near the beach.
Man.
Oh, no, they are. The back end of them, they are over there. And you can see them off that new tall building that's over by 5 and 20.
Yeah, I guess if you look the other way, you'll see civilization, Karen.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, like, just based on Karen's experience. Like, has it become... It's not really attainable for, like, the average person, so a lot of people aren't necessarily going to those places that were much more more access.
But they got priced out.
But again, I would argue Skinny Atlas, Cooperstown, and Saranac are the same thing.
Skinny Atlas.
Lake Placid especially.
Yeah, it's all expensive.
Yeah.
Any place where there's waterfront, it's going to be expensive. It's going to get developed.
But what Karen is saying, I think, goes back to what we were talking about. I mean, Karen,
she wants to be walking around with her cutoffs, drinking a tall boy, smoking a cigarette back in the day.
So
that's
what?
That's when it was beautiful.
Let Karen shake that ass out. Karen, you shake those cheeks and you'll be proud of it. What I'm getting at is...
I tried.
That ass got overdeveloped.
Running away, but I tried.
No, I mean, we've talked on the show a ton about how Canandaigua is a have and a have nots town. And I mean, the story that Karen is telling is one that we've also talked about, how 25 years ago, Canandaigua looked a hell of a lot different than it does now. It ain't quaint.
I don't see hell of a
It's manufactured quaint that draws your booty wearing, shacket loving ass out there to feel big money eating a piece of fish for $70.
If you go between a short distance between Buffalo Street and just before 5 and 20, that looks okay because you still got the historical buildings and that's real nice. But you go anywhere else on those main roads and you can't walk. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to be able to go out and walk all the way down to the lake by myself, wasn't worried about it. My mother didn't, you know.
Her mother, Tommy!
My mother.
I'm shaking her ass, too, showing all the boys. Karen, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
There goes Karen's
and
her mom.
That is so full of you-know-what crap.
Why are you getting so upset about a woman who was born and raised in a town that doesn't recognize it anymore?
She's making it up, man.
No, Dad, we hear that story all the time.
Down there. These streets, you can't walk down the street.
No, bro.
Well, I do think that there were a lot more... areas where just anybody could go, like more public access to the actual lake than there is now. I don't know if
that one stretch of beach and park is wide open.
People
are walking their dogs. You can park your car.
Yeah, but you didn't listen to what Kimmy said because you're so angry for some reason about people disrespecting Canandaigua, which you're not even a part of. You go for an hour of summer. You're right. There's still beach there.
Yeah.
Kimmy argued there was more.
Yeah. Oh, for guys. How much there more was. Beach? You didn't use half the beach to begin with.
Look, man, I went down there for 4th of July like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
My wife wanted to go check it out. And they have, like, you know, everyone's hanging out on the beach. It is shoulder to shoulder.
Well, it's 4th of July. It's the busiest time of the year.
Are you going to listen?
I went to Wegmans on Christmas Eve. Goddamn place was packed.
Are you going to listen or are you going to yell?
Jesus Christ,
you going to listen or are you going to yell?
They were out of cherry tomatoes.
You going to listen or are you going to yell? Because if there was more beach, maybe folks...
There's only so much lake. What do you want to do, dig it out?
I'm saying well, before what, the little other lake stuff that was built. Oh, here it comes. Yeah. It's up. And Obey a wave. There it goes. Why are you getting so offended?
Because people just make stuff up.
No, they're not. And here's the most ironic part, Kimmy.
Her opinion is wrong.
The woman who lived there.
Okay, is
wrong.
The ultimate irony, and I don't even know what irony
is. Priced out of the place she grew up.
Man upset about woman who, exactly what Kimmy said, was priced out of the place she grew up in, lives in town that does not allow all of the stuff that Canandaigua got because they want to keep it quaint. Pittsford would not allow anything that Canandaigua has done in the last 25 years because they want to maintain the quaintness. And you sit here and talk, well, you know, that's what happens when you live in a small town where people care about each other. And she has that same complaint. You go, ah, shut up!
Shut up.
I want grouper!
Yes.
Give me my grouper.
Give me my shrimp.
Fancy man grouper time. All right, I want to, real quick, because I want to get to this. We talk about, again, this list of the top 8 lake towns in New York State. Done by World Atlas. Canandaigua doesn't even make the list.
Shuck.
If we were to do a Lake Town power ranking within an hour of Rochester. So we got Canandaigua, Charlotte, Sotus.
Penyan, you could put in there.
Okay, and the area around Canisius Lake.
Yeah.
All right. Those are, if I'm missing anything,
give
me a power ranking, one down, of the nicest to the least nice. Canandaigua, Penyan, Charlotte, Sotus, and I guess Livonia around Canisius Lake.
I mean, you got to go... You got to go Canandaigua 1.
Okay.
Skinny Atlas 2.
No, you.
What?
That's too far.
Kimmy,
we're going
within
an hour.
Kimmy, let's start with Kimmy.
I forgot.
You forgot the thing I looked you in the face and said, and she even goes, Penyan, we can count because that's within an hour, and then you go.
But I haven't been to Penyan in a long time.
Oh, my God. Kimmy, one down, nicest to
nicest.
The place you would want to hang out the most. Canandaigua, Charlotte.
Canandaigua's probably the most convenient, nice. Okay. I mean, that's everything you want right there on the lake.
Okay.
Maybe Sotus?
Really?
Sotus is nice. Sotus Point is nice.
It's a party, though, man.
Yeah. But you do have everything right there. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's celebrities living out there. Old celebrities.
And they're doing a lot better than some busted other old celebrities.
I guess the other places are pretty similar to me. I haven't hung out there enough to really know the differences.
What are the
other
ones?
You know what I mean?
Charlotte,
it's been a while.
Canisius, Penyan.
I mean, you got to put Charlotte at the bottom.
There are some
beautiful
homes.
Beach down constantly.
Oh, it would be. God.
What do you mean? Oh my God! Pollution.
Out of your mouth. Mouth pollution.
I like going to the places.
You
want
to go to Tommy Mouth Beach?
I like going to the places in Charlotte, but to his point, it's not a place I'm hanging out.
No,
Ain't no quaint. There's tons of quaint in Charlotte.
Really? Where?
Drive down the lake there, man. Those homes are quaint. You got the little...
No, right there. Right there on the beach.
No, but that's not just Charlotte. Quaint. And I would argue it is quaint when you drive down the boulevard there.
It's the scenic road.
Yes.
Some of that merry-go-round's obnoxious.
Some of that merry-go-round's obnoxious.
I think they removed that part.
I love how... thank you. I love how he tries to use big words in one sentence and just swings at it.
Yeah, that's how you do.
Here's a bunch of pile of words. I'm going to try and put them in order.
All right, I would go...
Canandaigua,
number one.
Okay.
Charlotte's going on the bottom.
Okay, so that's 5.
All right.
So what do we got a sandwich here?
I like Sotus Point.
2.
Nice.
Okay.
What was the other 2?
Penyan, Canisius Lake.
Don't know Penyan. Been to Canisius is nice.
Penyan, I've been to some weddings there, so it's always
in
nice
Penyan
at the wedding
itself.
Venue. Yeah, I mean, right on the lake
You
there.
Think Canisius is nice? Where my dad owns a trailer 5 miles from the lake?
All right, I want to rescind my last place. Canisius goes to the bottom, Charlotte moves up one. And then Penyan comes in 3rd.
All right, let's take a break. Dear God, it's pulling teeth with you. Name lakes, screws it up immediately. This news yesterday was like the answer to Bills fans' prayers.
Fantastic.
You need a game breaker on this side of the ball. That may have gotten you to the Super Bowl on Sunday, and now he's come available. And the Bills have the money, and they have the resources, and they have the space.
Oh, man, we're going.
Well, but with everything, there's a risk.
Yeah, but it sounds like a high risk.
I don't know. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Yesterday, Browns superstar defensive end Myles Garrett asked for a trade out of Cleveland.
Okay.
As soon as Bills fans saw this, Kimmy, They all
Everybody
pounced.
Jumped on it.
Get him!
Yeah.
So just to catch you up, Tommy, the guy is a sack machine. He may be the best defensive end of the NFL. He's definitely top three. And he badly wants to play for a contender after all of these years of playing in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know, Von Miller is almost certainly a cap casualty in a few months. He'll be gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Bills will have a wide open spot for him. And when it comes to Myles Garrett, he's a former first overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
He is the first player in NFL history to have 14 sacks in four consecutive seasons. Last year, he was the defensive player of the year. He is up for it again this year. He is an impact player.
So where's the... The bad.
He's 29.
Okay.
Which is up there for a DN. Mm-hmm. It would also cost the Bills a minimum, the starting price.
How much?
2 first-round picks.
Ooh.
So you wouldn't be making a first-round pick in back-to-back years. You would be mortgaging the future for a handful of years of Myles Garrett. And handful is the key word.
Yeah.
And so you think this is the guy to get you over the top?
I don't know what I think right now, to be honest with you, because I've been looking at people argue, and I agree with everybody, and I don't know how to feel right now.
Yeah, I mean, but I guess, like, this is the year that you're going to see the Bills make some bigger moves just because they have a little bit more wiggle room, especially than they had last year do that. So I guess it's like, where do the Bills want to put that money? Like, what, you know, what's the most important thing that they need right now?
I mean, it's wide receiver, it's defensive end, if you're asking me.
Okay.
Right? So this is one of those spots. All right, so Tommy, after everything I just gave you, are you trading 2 first-round picks for Myles Garrett?
No, because I see this guy, like, hurting himself in the third game of the season, and then he's done. Because he's old, and he's raggedy.
I wouldn't call him raggedy. He is up for defensive player of the year right now.
Yeah, but you getting him at the... Past his peak, it sounds like.
Well, no, I would say he's peaking.
No, I think there is an argument that he may be past his peak, but still.
You're not going to get 14 sacks out of him again.
I mean, hell, if you got back-to-back double-digit sacks, 10 and 10, Bills fans would be ecstatic.
Okay.
I mean, but to your point, look, I mean, when you bring in guys that are older, and this is just human
they're
body.
They're a risk.
All right? Look, Von Miller came in gangbusters. He was on pace for 17 sacks in his first year. He ripped his knee up against Detroit, and he was never the same. And, I mean, these are the risks that you take. But the counterpoint to that is... Guys like this, Von Miller, Myles Garrett, don't come free often.
Yeah.
Like, these are usually guys that are signed to franchises forever. Like, the Browns 2 weeks ago, so they wanted him to go from Cleveland to Canton. They were ready to give him whatever he wanted. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want the money. He wants to go play for a contender. I'm sure he wants the money. But you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Not from Cleveland. So you don't want it.
Because you think this guy gets you to the Super Bowl.
Well, he's definitely an impact player.
That's not my question.
I mean, Von Miller was the guy, the finisher to get them to the Super Bowl, and it looked he was that guy until he got hurt.
Right. Seems to me, you'd rather go young. Build something up. Build something
but those
better.
Guys aren't really, I mean, those like immediate younger impact players aren't really available.
They're not available, period.
Those are the guys that our teams are doing everything in their power to keep.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to go to Dallas and trade for Micah Parsons, who may be the best defensive end of the NFL. You know, he's out of the draft 3 years from now. And where the Bills are drafting, I mean, they're going to be in within the top 5 picks.
There's going to be nobody left.
Yeah, I mean, they do really well, at least with the exception of 2 years ago, 3 years ago. When they draft high, they hit. When you're drafting later in the first round, you know, the odds that you find an impact player are lower.
All right, so, go get them.
Okay, you're the worst NFL GM ever.
Money, go ahead. Just say the receipt.
You're killing my retirement over
here. You are.
Kimmy, would you make this move if they offered it right now?
I think so. I think I would.
You're going to forego 2 first-round picks?
Yeah, I think that's... I think that's what you got to do right now if you want to be good next season, like immediately.
Okay.
Again, like these are the kind of guys that you're going to have to bring in.
Okay, so there are two theories here as we talk about Myles Garrett asking for a trade out of Cleveland. Bills fans want him bad, although now I'm getting a bunch of people arguing. Anthony and Danny say forget about Myles Garrett, go trade for Cooper Kupp, the receiver in Los Angeles.
Well, he's been hurt though. Recently, too. I mean, that's not
it's
a guarantee.
An LA injury.
None of these guys that
are coming out of the sushi bar
that are in these positions are guarantees. It's just a matter of, to me, who you think you're going to get the most out of.
I think it's easier to go find a wide receiver than it is a game-breaking defensive end. I mean, Kimmy, there's two schools of thought. You're right. You can go trade these first-round picks and say we're going to break through next year, and this is going to be the team that's dominant. But, I mean, you know, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. The way that Brandon Bean has been playing at the Bills GM is we're going to keep the team competitive, knowing that Josh can bring us to a certain point and hope to catch a break. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at teams the last couple of years. The Titans look dominant. They've fallen off. The Bengals have looked dominant. They've fallen off, right? Like, the Bills could have been one of those teams going all in. If you go all in now, 3, 4, 5 years from now, we could be looking at a much different situation, whereas you could do what the Steelers did with Roethlisberger and then kept continually trying to reload and catch a break when you got to the playoffs. I mean, what's the better way to be?
Well, yeah, to your point, you got to win now with Josh. So well, he's at the peak of his career.
So then you do
want
to bring in the guy.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, if I look at it that way, this kid's not going to be playing at this level forever.
I don't know, man. I mean, we are living in a different age where these quarterbacks go 15, 20 years.
The scrambling crazy ones or the pocket ones? The pocket ones go long. The ones that run all over the field seem they don't.
Pocket ones don't exist. I mean, Matthew Stafford, he runs pretty well. He gets hit a ton. He's still in the league.
He's got that good mattress. I mean, he gets to adjust his numbers every night. That's we got to get Josh one of those.
All right, we'll get Josh one of the mattresses. Sure. All right, so you're both in on 2 first-round picks, mortgaging the future.
Well, who's around for their first round that would be good?
Oh, I mean, no one is close to Myles Garrett.
So, all right, so get rid of this.
Garrett Day.
And it also seems like the Bills may have a little bit of an edge in getting these guys to want to come to Buffalo, too, because right now it is a team that seems desirable for players.
Well, the good news is Myles Garrett doesn't have a choice, so even if he didn't want to come to Buffalo, Exactly. So he's coming wherever he gets traded to. You may have to extend him, too. He's making $20 million a year over the next, like, $20 million next year, $20 million the year after that. He's going to want a contract extension, so you'd also have to spend some more money.
All right.
So you're in.
I'm in.
Okay.
He'll blow out his knee in the third game of the season.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you?
Oh, no. Here comes the car.
Market.
Worst bonus pick ever.
Mark it right now, because if it happens, everyone is going to despise you.
But that's the way it goes,
more
man.
Than they do. That's how it is with every team. You know, these bad things don't just happen to Buffalo.
Seems to do.
It seems to do.
Seems to do. Let me tell you something. Seems to do.
All right, we're going
to
take a break so Tommy can reboot his mouth.
I did that last night.
Where was that?
Oh, I was rebooting on your mama.
Doesn't even make sense.
Ask her.
Man doesn't understand technology, so he says that.
I was booting on that booty.